Hi, I'm John Weber. My guest today is banjo player Cynthia Sayre. Regarded as one of the world's top jazz banjoists, she toured with Woody Allen's band for more than 10 years. Her unique approach takes the banjo beyond its New Orleans roots into modern jazz, swing, tango, country, classical, and more. She has appeared with the New York Philharmonic at festival dates the world over and on several feature film and TV soundtracks. She's performed for two U.S. presidents. All this, and she sings too. Cynthia, welcome to Piano Jazz.
Thank you, John. I'm so glad to be here.
It's our great pleasure. Let's talk about your early musical experience. Was four-string banjo your first pick? No pun intended.
Well, actually, my first love was the piano, which I started when I was age six. And I really started the banjo by accident. I played in the school orchestra, and I saw the school dance band, this guy playing a drum set, and I thought, wow, I want to do that. So I came home and announced to my parents, that's my next instrument, I want to play the drums, and they said, no way, way too loud. And I understand I was lobbying strong for a couple of weeks about it, and one day I came home from school, and there's this banjo on my bed. And I instantly knew this thing was a bribe for the drums. I knew I wouldn't get my drums. And I only had a vague association with what it really was, you know, with bluegrass music. I had not really been exposed to the banjo. And I just thought, well, I'll play this thing. Okay, you know. And it ended up that I took lessons for a couple of years from a local banjo player, a woman, which at the time I didn't know was unusual. And she ended up being a very important role model for me.
Now, who's playing awakened you to the four-string banjo's potential?
Well, I would say that I only heard the banjo in sort of fun, corny, party kind of situations until I heard a recording by Elmer Snowden. I did have the occasion to hear some wonderful jazz banjo players in town like Eddie Davis, but for the most part, most of the banjo that I heard around me, and certainly most that was played on the gigs that I was invited on, you know, was very much a sing-along banjo parlor style or a vaudeville style. And when I heard this recording called Harlem Banjo, played by Elmer Snowden. Oh, it just opened every door. It made a very deep connection to me. I went nuts over it. Here was banjo as this hard-driving, fabulous jazz instrument, full of integrity, full of swing. And when I heard this recording, I was like, that's what I want to do.
Now, did Elmer Snowden play the four-string or the five-string banjo? And I think it's important for you to draw the distinction between these two instruments because they are quite different in design, like a piano and an organ, right?
Yeah, they're different creatures. The only thing they have in common is they have both have a round head and a long neck, and they're called banjo. But the five-string banjo is actually derived from the original banjo. The four-string banjo was invented later. The five-string banjo is what people are most familiar with, finger-picking, bluegrass-style, clawhammer, folk, country music, and those musical genres.
But you chose the four-string because it's more conducive for jazz, and you play it in a sort of guitaristic way with a pick instead of having, like Steve Martin, I saw him play banjo with picks on every one of his fingers. To pluck the strings, but you actually pick it like a guitarist would.
Yeah, I mean, the easiest way to describe it is that it's like a jazz guitar. I play lead, I play chords, but there is a certain kind of attack and a certain kind of style, which is very much all about the banjo and not about the guitar.
Well, I'd like to get right into the music and
all
play
right.
something with you. And you are famous for surrounding yourself with excellent musicians. And today you've brought a guest.
Oh, yes. I brought the most amazing accordion player. His name's Charlie Giordano.
Well, let's play something together, maybe a blues or something, something we all know in common. What do you think?
Let's do Ella Miriam's Blues. This tune was written by Andy Statman. Both Charlie and I have played with Andy. He's a very unusual and brilliant, brilliant musician who plays an interesting combination of modern jazz and klezmer music and bluegrass on both clarinet and mandolin. He's just an amazing player and also a great composer. And Ella Miriam is his granddaughter, by the way, and judging by the tune, I think she must have been a very precocious child.
Let's play Ella Miriam's Blues.
All right. One, two, a one, two.
Blast! I love you guys.
Oh, it was fun to hear that tune with this instrumentation, too.
And this is a relatively new tune.
Yes, it's a current tune, and I do know I'm the first one to have recorded it, but I know he's been playing it for a while, too. Although I had to press him to get a name for it, so it remained unnamed for a while, and then he decided to name it after his granddaughter.
It was christened after a lovely young lady, yes. I'm sure.
Yes.
Now, what appeals to you about the really old songs? Because your repertoire includes songs that go way back.
Well, you know, I come from a real traditional jazz background, and so I learned this very early repertoire, 1920s music, also turn-of-the-century music, and of course, in the Woody Allen Band, we did very early New Orleans-focused repertoire as well, although he has a nice eclectic mix, too. I shouldn't limit it to that. My interest is in being a person of today and paying tribute to this early style, but doing my own thing with today's influences. I think some musicians who are interested in early jazz, you know, really get into a recreation kind of mentality, and that's not me. I like learning from the past and making it current in my own way.
You make your sound definitely very modern.
Well, thank you. I take that as a compliment. I don't want this instrument to be thought of only in a historic context. I think it's such a cool, driving, exciting, swingy instrument, and I think it's not used as much as it could be. I also think it has this vast musical range that is not really thought about, you know, because it's a banjo. People stereotype, you know, the idea of what banjo plays. And it's, you know, it's like any instrument. It's what you choose to do with it.
Yeah. And what about the image of the banjo anyway? I think you say banjo to somebody and the first thing that comes in their head, you know, right?
Yes. You know, the banjo is such a funny thing. I call it as having, like, image baggage. It's really gotten freed from a lot of this baggage in recent years, thanks in large part to great players like Bela Fleck, who brought it into, you know, a whole new world and a new platform as being edgy and cool and different. But, you still run into this thing that, you know, of banjo being very corny, old-fashioned, and so on. And, you know, banjo also has an amazingly controversial history. The early forms of the banjo came over as a gourd instrument by Africans who were captured and brought here as slaves. It evolved into a banjo, and, had a huge racial stigma. I personally think that still exists in large part today. I remember, you know, when I first started playing, I never saw anyone of color play the banjo except in New Orleans. You know, that was a very glaring exception to me, the four-string banjo in any event. And I imagine that's true in the five-string banjo world as well. But times have changed. There also were no women playing the banjo professionally, but I'm happy to say that's changed. But, you know, it's interesting because it's a very male-identified instrument, yet in its past, there was a time when it was considered a female instrument. I was shocked when I learned about that when I was reading up on banjo history. That really surprised me.
Well, there's another female instrument that you have and sounds very unique, and that is your voice.
Oh.
Which is something I would love to hear. I want to hear you sing a tune because you're such a exquisite vocalist.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
What do you think?
Here's a tune. I get ideas. There's a Louis Armstrong recording of this that just sends chills down my spine every time I hear it. And it's based on Adios Muchachos, I Get Ideas.
I would love to play it with you.
Let's do it. I want to hold you so much closer than I dare to. I want to scold you 'cause I care more than I care to. And when you touch me,
There's a fire in every finger. I get ideas. Ooh, I get ideas. And after we have said goodnight, but still you linger, I kind of think that you've got ideas too. Your eyes are always saying the things you'll never say. I only hope they're saying that you could love me too. 'Cause that's the whole idea, it's true. It's a lovely idea that I could fall in love with you.
Well, Cynthia, you certainly have a beautiful singing voice as well.
Well, thank you. It was fun to do a duet with you.
And I was listening to you play, and again, I'm very, very aware of you playing with a pick on the banjo, four-string banjo, and I'm thinking about, this guitaristic sort of approach and thinking that there must be, I'm sure, famous jazz guitarists who started out on the banjo.
Oh, yes. Well, one that we all know and love and who I've recorded with a couple of times is Bucky Pizzarelli. Bucky started on the banjo, and of course the great Django Reinhardt, he started on the banjo. So there are some very illustrious examples, but you know, I guess I did it the opposite. I played a little guitar as a kid and then I went to the banjo. So I actually think that's a better way to go.
I just wonder how the banjo made it over to Paris, where Django Reinhardt grew up, where he found it, because I guess the banjo has been around quite a while, so.
Well, it's been around a surprisingly long time, but the banjo traveled with jazz. You know, I mean, the banjo was an integral part of the early jazz sound, and it went everywhere that jazz went. I mean, jazz is one of America's great cultural gifts to the world, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, jazz has gone everywhere, and Europe embraced jazz big time. And there's a whole separate history of jazz banjo that grew from this, and all over, and in Germany, and in England, and in France, and Paris.
We should salute Paris in the way that we know best, within song. What do you think?
Let's do it. I love Paris.
In the springtime. Let's bring in Charlie for the authenticity, for the accordion.
Oh, yes. Perfect.
Charlie Giordano.
1, 2, 1, 2. Thank you.
was way too much fun.
Well, that shows all the craziness in Paris.
That does. Just a mile a minute. We love it. Or a kilometer. Sorry, I guess a kilometer a minute. It's not quite as fast. But how did you and Charlie Giordano start working together, our accordionist?
Well, I was playing a gig in Brooklyn, and one of the musicians, a drummer, Larry Eagle, who I work with quite a bit, had invited Charlie to come by. I guess Charlie lives in the neighborhood of where this gig is. And he introduced himself to me, and I thought, oh, accordion, how cool. And I invited him to come and sit in on a gig, and he did, to my surprise and delight. And when he started playing, I nearly had a heart attack. I was like, oh, wow, this guy's, like, amazing. And I immediately decided I wanted to make a record with him, and so I asked if he would, and he said, sure. So Charlie's really the inspiration for my new recording, Joyride, and I'm so glad we met.
Well, the two of you sound terrific together, and you have no idea what an honor it is to play with you and to join your incredible sound, which is so complete already. And me playing with you, I'm in heaven. I'm loving every minute of it.
Well, it's fun. And also, we're lucky Charlie happens to be in town now. He's with Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band, and he just happens to be between tour dates right now. So it's all worked out for us. So it's a lot of fun.
Well, he's done what he can for Bruce. I think Bruce is on his own now. But,
That's right.
Cynthia, I want to ask you about your, you do something that very few jazz musicians do. You're a songwriter.
Yes, I do now and then, yes.
I think you're a very good songwriter.
Well, thank you so much.
In fact, I'd like to do one of your tunes if you would be so, or one of your songs. A tune is a song without words, and a song is a tune with words.
That's our lingo, isn't it?
That's our jargon, right.
This one, you know, when people write, you know, whether you're a writer with words or with music, you know, people say to write what you know. So I thought, gee, you know, I'll write this is a very personal song, and it's about a former relationship of mine, and I talk about some things about the relationship, and I, you know, maybe you can relate, but I hope not.
One, two, a one, two. I thought I'd met my true love and was happy as could be. He was smart, tall, and handsome. One thing I couldn't foresee. I finally had to leave him. I simply had to go. He demanded that I tell him why. He said he had to know. So I told him, you talk too much, always chatting away. You talk too much, you got lots to say. When you call on the phone, I catch up with my reading. An occasional uh-huh keeps your thoughts streaming. You talk too much. You yak a lot, words flow in a torrent. You yak a lot, I found it abhorrent. Your monologue, it was hard to break it. Listening left me having to fake it. You yak a lot. I understand the need to self-express. I just wish it had been a little less. You talk too much, always chatting away. You talk too much, you got lots to say. I try to be nice, but you just keep going, holding my smile while inside I was groaning. You talk too much. Self-express. wish it had been a little less. You talk too much, always chatting away. You talk too much, you got lots to say. I'd nod now and then, but you were never the wiser that I was far away while your mouth was a geyser. You talk too much. I just couldn't take it. I had to go. So there it is, what you wanted to know.
Well, that was a lot of fun.
Now you got to make sure that you don't talk too much on your radio show. No.
You have made me so self-conscious about talking too much. Well, there's more coming up with Banjo Hall of Famer Cynthia Sayer. I'm John Weber, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR Music. So, Cynthia, is there any other form, a dance form that you're fond of? We've done some nice two-steps this afternoon.
Well, I particularly love tango music, and I've learned a number of tangos. I'd love to play one for you. The banjo actually has a connection to the tango because when the tango orchestras first became popular here in America, there was very often a banjo as a part of it. And so, in fact, it was called a tango banjo. But that's not why I'm into tangos. I just like tangos. So this one, El Choclo, is one that I'd like to play. And when I saw the title, I thought, oh, it's chocolate, you know, which, of course, is not what it really means. And when I was looking at the music, I realized that I was familiar with it. This is one of the first tangos that I learned. And it's very, very popular, and you'll probably be familiar with it as well.
I'd love to hear you and Charlie play El Choclo.
One, two, one, two. Thank you.
That was really, really powerful. I love that.
Oh, thanks. It's great to get to play a tango with an accordion, with Charlie in particular on accordion. So it's a fun sound mix that I don't get to experience very often. But let's do, I don't want to take over your...
Take over. What do you want to play? I like this.
Let's
take charge.
Well, I thought it would be really fun for Charlie and you both to play piano. So we have a little four-handed piano going on for Dark Eyes.
I'm game.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Thank you. was a blast. And that was old. That's 1934 or so. We should want to dig even further back into the Wayback Machine. How far back you want to go?
Well, how about the 1800s?
That's fair game. So the banjo was around in the 1800s.
Absolutely.
I say we go for it.
Absolutely. Here's an American song that was a circus song. The Man on the Flying Trapeze.
Let's hear you and Charlie do that.
All right.
He flies through the air with the greatest of ease, that daring young man on the flying trapeze. His movements are graceful, all the girls he does please. He's my love who was stolen away. The man that I love, he was handsome. I tried all I knew just to please, but I could not win him one quarter so well as that girl upon the trapeze. She smiled from her perch on the people below, and that night she smiled on my love. She blew him a kiss, and he hollered, "Bravo!" as she hung by her nose from above. With a mouse, seduced with her eyes while he stared from the house. He left me soon after to join with her show, but her plan was more than he would know. She taught him gymnastics and dressed him in tights to help her live at her ease. She made him assume a theatrical name, and now he goes on the
Wow, that's high drama.
Yes, very well, melodrama maybe.
Oh, it's yeah. A brilliant song. It's held up quite well, 150 years at least. I think 1867. You play banjo in such a contemporary way, and you could take almost any material, either from 1867 or even something from today, and have it sound all sort of ubiquitous in time and immortal.
Oh, you know, thank you.
I think it's from Moby Dick. I think I stole that. But, but even when you play tunes from now, you somehow make them sound timeless.
Well, thank you. I reduce everything to banjos now.
You do. Well, let's. I want to prove this point by playing something current. What do you know that's been written in the 21st century that maybe we could take a go at?
Well, let's do a tune written by Beck for his songbook reader. And
describe the songbook reader. I think people would love to hear about this if they don't
know. It's so interesting. He put out an album, but only on paper, only the music, the sheet music, which is a very old-fashioned thing to do. And actually, the artwork on each piece of sheet music is just extraordinary. It's a real... It's simultaneously this amazing throwback and also very contemporary, and I was very attracted to that because of those two factors that I relate to very much. And this particular tune called Do We Do, it's pretty dark, but something about it, the second I looked at the music, I knew this would swing, and so I just connected to it, so I thought it'd be fun to do it, so let's give it a try.
From the year 2012, this is Do We Do.
Do we ever want to take the low road? Do we ever just want to say we're through? Wanna lock the door and throw away the key? Do we? We do. Do we wanna just look on the dark side? Do we wanna wallow in the mire? Wanna feel that the world's against us? Do we? We do. Do we think it's sometimes just a nuisance? And other times a travesty to all who try but only fall into ruins with their broken backs up against the wall. Do we want to say it's just a fool's game, that no one but the wickedest can win? And do we want to play it with our last dime? Do we? We do. One, two, one, two, three. Thank you. that no one but the wickedest can win. Do we want to play it with our last dime? Do we? We do. Do we? Yes, we do. Do we? We do.
Well, that was certainly a unique version of Do We Do.
Well, it's interesting that there's no sort of inherent definitive version, and he just left it, you know, for all of us to make his songs our own in our own way. So there's something nice about that.
I can't believe this hour is up already. I want to keep on playing with you, but how about one more tune, an original tune? What do you want to do?
Let's do a song I wrote about the banjo. How's that for a fitting closer? It's called Banjo Blues. And I have a very particular inspiration for this song because, you know, when you work as a professional banjo player, it's not the most ordinary thing to do. I remember, you know, for years I would, for example, I might be hired to play at a jazz festival, and the festival directors, if there were, you know, different guest artists and I was one of the guest artists, they'd assemble different bands and they'd put all the straight ahead and swing players in their bands, and then they would put me like with the washboard player to do, you know, sing-alongs and things. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that that's not what I do. And it was very hard to communicate that I'm a jazz musician also. And so now, from these kinds of experiences over the years, that's what this song is about.
Well, I want to hear you assert your musical personality because it's fantastic. And so let's play Banjo Blues.
All right.
One, two, one, two. Strolling along one fine day, gig bag on my back in its usual way, a stranger tried to guess what's inside, finally said banjo and beamed with pride. Next comes the sigh, then the smile, I hadn't seen one of those in a while. Grandfather played mom's favorite song, when we were kids we'd sing along. Banjo blues, unsophisticated. Banjo blues, so underrated. It wasn't so hot for the longest time. Now it's finally cool, it's sublime. Moonshine and minstrels and hee-haw's best. White guys with bellies and red striped vests. Louder is good, tremolo great. Faster is better than you rate. Now lots of space, an open door. Free from ideas that ruled before. Oddball twang, power drive, fun and edge, a joy ride. Unsophisticated, banjo blues, so underrated, it wasn't in for the longest time. Now it's a fashion, it's sublime. banjo blues, unsophisticated banjo blues, so underrated. It was so out for the longest time. Now out's inside and it's sublime.
Cynthia, it's been a real pleasure having you on Piano Jazz.
It's been so wonderful. I loved it. Thanks for inviting me.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with John Weber and his guest, Cynthia Sayer. This program is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio and is recorded at her studios in New York City, with post-production in the Elaine T. Freeman Suite at ETV Radio in Columbia, South Carolina. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson. Recording engineer Duke Marcos. Assistant recording engineer Andrew Shire. Mastering engineer David Mitchell. Production manager Grant Jackson. Production assistant Laura Hunsberger. The executive producer is Kobe Hennessy. The executive in charge is Linda O'Brien. Special thanks to Anya Grundman, director and executive producer of NPR Music. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the Friends of Piano Jazz and NPR. Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and NPR contributors, which include the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org, and the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to a vigorous presence for poetry in American culture, poetryfoundation.org. This is NPR.